Hey everyone, my name is Jasmine Bicknell, and thanks for checking out this message today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Connect to 97000. There, we can answer your questions and even help pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we are doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website and click the Give tab at the top of the page, or you can text the amount you want to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you're blessed by today's message.
Everyone? Man, how awesome was that? God's good, isn't he? I don't know if you noticed, but we had a lot of young people up here. Evie's in high school. Evan, he came back from college, from Grand Rapids, from Hope College. Man, how awesome is it to have young people connected and helping us lead and worship the Lord? That encourages me as a pastor for the next generation, does it not? Man, it's good. So I'm excited just to see what God's doing here in our location and seeing how he's moving in all of our lives. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Romans. We'll begin in the first chapter. You're like, wait a minute, I thought we covered this already, right? Yeah, we did, but we've been walking the last couple weeks really as to why the church does what the church does, right? Why we do what we do as a body of believers and what that looks like as our mission and the Great Commission. Like that word Great Commission really just simply comes from Jesus' last words to his disciples as he tells them to go and make disciples, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that he has commanded. And so we take that cry, that instruction, that command that Jesus lays out for his disciples, and we recognize that that is laid out in Scripture, in the New Testament, in many different epistles. So we have this small kind of mini-series we're running through in the middle of Romans that helps us remind us of why we do what we do. And we walked through this a couple weeks ago. When our hearts start to look like God's heart, we start caring for the lost. Paul in Romans 9:1 speaks of this very earnestly, that if he could, he would trade places with the lost so that they would come to know the Lord. See, that is Paul reflecting God's heart, that he cares for the lost, that he cares for those who don't know him. His desire is that they would repent and come to know who he is, his love, his kindness, his forgiveness, and his mercy. And so we walk through, hey, as a church, we should have that same kind of heart for the lost. Then we looked last week as our gathering, really, in the Great Commission, as Jesus instructed, he says, not only do you go make disciples, but you are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we walk through how baptism directly correlates to the joining of and being included into the family of God. That doesn't mean we're saved through baptism. I want to make sure I clarify that. We're not being saved through baptism. Baptism is this expression where, as an individual, as God has already worked in their heart, as they have come to know him, they are wanting everybody to know, hey, I am choosing Jesus. I'm joining his family. And I want to make that declaration be known to all who would see me be baptized, right? And so this picture that is created, this identity that we take on through baptism that helps us understand, hey, now I'm part of the body of Christ. I belong. Not just for my own selfish gains, but I belong to a body to serve, to help, to be unified, to operate in harmony. We looked at the illustration last week of a guitar and the different instruments that are in a band, and they all sound different. And some of you got to see me play the keys, and man, you're going to be like signing me up for the next wedding singer. I get it. It was horrible. But this is the whole point, right? Like, we all have our unique gifts. We all may come from different backgrounds and different approaches, and this is part of what gathering is, that we come together unified, not because of our distinct unity in the things that we like as far as like sports teams or this or that, whatever it is. We come together and we're unified because we have Christ as our Lord, right? And that's what brings us together in unity. That's what brings us in harmony. And when we operate in harmony, man, we sing with one voice. We shout the glory of God.
how wonderful it is. And so today we're going to continue in that, the same aspect of what it means. Our phrasing is we grow in the Word. Really, it comes out with what Matthew says in Matthew 28 as Jesus is giving this last instruction to teach them to observe all that I have commanded. So we're going to look at that. And I was thinking about an illustration, and this really, I think, ties into what we're going to walk through. How many of you have ever had a gym membership? I've had more than one. Didn't pay out so well. I started at one at the, it's called Orange Theory. There's not one around here that I know of. But it's the whole point is to get your heart elevated to a certain point. And if you stay in that there's a red zone, there's a green zone. It means you're not working hard enough. Red is you're working too hard. If you stay in the orange, you're right where you need to be. Did not work out so well for me. I ended up getting a knee injury or something like that, and I had to stop. But the whole idea of a gym membership is, man, when you get it, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready for change. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I was trying to prepare for running a 5K, right? And so, like, that was my whole motive, and I ended up hurting myself to not be able to run the 5K. But that was the whole idea. Oh, I'm going to get prepared. I'm going to do this. I'm going to run. You may have your own motives, whether it's to lose weight or just to be more healthy or whatever. Now, imagine if all I did is I had a card, you know, they give you a card to say, hey, you're an official member of this gym. And I carried that card with me, I stuck it in my pocket, and I was expecting it to change me just because I had it in my pocket, right? No matter how hard I try, just because I have a membership and it sits in my pocket, that membership card ain't going to make me or ain't going to transform me to what I need to be or be prepared for what I need to do, right? And this is the whole idea behind growing in the Word of God. Listen, you can carry around this book. You can hold it every Sunday. Come in. It's not going to transform you until you open it and you start to use it and apply it to your life. And that's what we're going to walk through this morning as we look at what Paul says throughout all of Romans. We're going to jump through the book of Romans. We'll start in chapter 1, and we're going to go through a lot of portions of Romans to kind of point to you that Paul himself is really teaching this aspect of what Jesus laid down, right? What Jesus laid down in Matthew 28, Paul is affirming. He is teaching it to the church in Romans. We've seen it in multiple series in the past as we walk through Reach, Gather, Grow, whether it be in the book of Corinth, the book of Galatians, the book of Colossians. This aspect of reaching the lost, gathering together with the saints, and growing in the Word of God is something that is taught, and we should expect it to be taught because it's what Jesus asked his disciples to do. So let's begin with the word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the worship that was led by the wonderful team here, all of them. Lord, we're so grateful for them in doing this week in, week out, and just serving us in this manner. Lord, we are grateful for your word and your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray your spirit would be present this morning with me and with us as we examine your words, your instructions given to us through Paul. Lord, help us to apply it to our life that we may grow closer to you, reflecting your character and your behavior. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, so let's begin. If you have your Bibles open to Romans, we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, the very first chapter. I want to read this. Paul starts off very clearly to really lay the foundation of Romans in this manner. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So you have it there in the first two verses. Paul is affirming the gospel in the very Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures are going to point us to and point us to who Jesus is. Very clearly he says this, concerning his Son, that is Jesus, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared, proclaimed to be the Son of God. So the Bible, the Word of God, points us to who Jesus is, who the Son of God is, and it says then in that, in power according to the Spirit of holiness. And it affirms that this is, in fact, the Son of God based on these next words, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Word of God is to point us to and is to show us who Jesus is, what his character is, what his behavior looks like, and that it's so important for us to recognize that God's Word is intentionally put in front of us so that we can know Jesus. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it all tells a single story of the person of Jesus. But listen to what he says as Paul continues in this, in verse 5. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to, and if you are one that highlights in your scripture, I would encourage you to highlight the next phrase, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations. You see, what Paul is saying in here is the importance of God's Word, who it's going to point to, and why, as believers, we need to be aware of what is written in his Word. Paul says it in this manner, that it is the reason this is important is to bring about this obedience of faith. Going back to Matthew 28, when Jesus says, teach them to observe. That word observe is synonymous with obey. And I don't know if we've talked about this over the last 2 weeks, and I don't know if it's really hit home. When we talk about the Great Commission, that is not a suggestion. Listen to what I'm saying. The Great Commission, what Jesus asked his disciples to do, is not a suggestion. It is not just somebody that is on staff that has to do this. It's not just mine or Carson's or the deacon's responsibility to have to live out the Great Commission. It is a call for all disciples who claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior that they will be called to do what Jesus says, make disciples. I love last week, Nicole was able to baptize Jillian. Man, living out the Great Commission. Living out, she discipled her to know Jesus, discipled her to baptize her, and now she has the responsibility to disciple her in teaching everything that God has commanded her to do in the Word of God. That's awesome that we get to see the Great Commission lived out in our lives, in our community here. And it's not just happening in one person. Multiple people are doing this. And this is what we're called to do. And we see Paul pointing us back to this aspect of obedience. You see, discipleship, as I was, I don't know if I've ever connected this thought, as I looked at that passage in Matthew 28, I really see a summary of what discipleship looks like. Jesus is really laying down in a very simple, concise manner what discipleship looks like. First, you got to tell them about Jesus. Then you baptize them. And then you teach them what the very Word of God says. This is a succinct manner in which Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you want to know how to make disciples? It goes in this order. Teach them about me. Make disciples. Tell them that your story, your relation. Introduce them to who Jesus is. Reach the lost. Bring them into the family. Gather together. Help them understand what baptism's all about. And if we just stop there, we'd lose what Jesus is continuing to command his disciples. Oftentimes, we've seen this in churches where they will get somebody introduced to the Lord, they'll baptize them, and then what? What do we do then? We are called, according to Jesus, to do more than just baptize them and leave it there. We're called to tell them how to get into God's Word, to teach them how to observe or obey all that Jesus commanded us to do. What's really interesting about this phrase that you're going to see here, if you'll jump with me, I know we're in Romans chapter 1, if you'll jump with me to Romans 16. This is the last, so we're at the first chapter, and now we're going to the very last chapter of Romans. This phrase exists at the very conclusion of Paul's letter. He says this in verse 25 of Romans 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel the preaching of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul is pointing us right back to the importance of the Word of God to point us to Jesus. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for so long, but has now been disclosed, has now been made known, and through the prophetic writings. There he is again, pointing to the very Word of God. And the point of it is being made known is so that all nations would understand who Jesus is, the mystery of Jesus, the mystery of the Messiah, the mystery of the Christ has been made known through the very prophetic writings. Listen to what he says after this, according to the command of the eternal God. According to the command. So God commanded that his Son be made known through his word to all the world, to all nations, to all people. And I love this phrase because it kind of bookends the whole book of Romans. In chapter 1, we saw that Paul saw the importance of this to bring about the obedience of faith. And here, in chapter 16, as he is concluding his thought, he says the same words to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. You see, discipleship is obedience. At the very end of the day, when we're walking through what discipleship looks like, it looks like obedience. In fact, you jump to Romans 6, in the middle of the chapter, Paul says these words, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey?" Obedience is a clear indicator of who you serve. And Paul goes on to speak of this notion, and he says either of sin, and that if that is your master, if sin is your master, that's going to lead you to death. But if obedience, which leads to righteousness, which is the very person of Jesus, obedience to Jesus, which leads us to righteousness, thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have now become obedient from the heart. You see, I want you to understand this because this is sometimes very confusing. We sometimes think, man, if I obey, then I am in good standing with God. If I obey, then I am justified before God. And when we take that notion, we tend to walk in the same line of thinking that the Pharisees walked in. That's not why we obey. We don't obey to get good standing with God. We don't obey to get justified, to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We obey because that has already been done, and so we are honoring the one who gave his life for us by saying, yes, you have shown me a better way. I am choosing to follow you. Therefore, I am obedient to what you instruct for my life. See, obedience is so important for us to recognize as a part of our discipleship. Obedience isn't just behavior polishing. We're not trying to polish necessarily the outside, though that will happen through time. It's really this aspect of life reformation. See, when we talk about growing in the Word of God, we're not talking about just filling our heads with more information. That's not why we grow in the Word. We're not going to have a Bible quiz at the end of our life and say, hey, how much did you know or didn't you know? That's not what that's about. See, growing in the Word isn't about head knowledge. It's about living it out day in and day out, just like a gym membership. Listen, you can have all the knowledge of what this machine does or what that machine does or what those weights do in a certain way, but if you never actually exercise it and do it, all the head knowledge does nothing for you. This is what we're talking about when we say we need to grow in the Word, not so we have more information up here, but so that our day in and day out life looks more like this book and the person of Jesus. We're called to live it out, not just know it up here. This is where we go to the next passage in Romans, as we understand that obedience is part of our growth. We also see that this growth does produce transformation. See, obedience is more than just checking off a bunch of commands that God gave us to walk in. It's about aligning our lives with God's design. Listen to what I just said. It's not about walking in a bunch of commands that Jesus gave us. That is important, don't get me wrong. It's about aligning our lives with God's design for his people. See, every command in the scripture points to a greater goal. It's a pattern that we are called to follow, a mark to aim for. It's an image that we are called to reflect. And we're going to see this in Romans 8:29, that this image is, in fact, to be conformed to the likeness of God in his Son, Christ. So when we obey, we're not minimizing God's commandments in any way, shape, or form. We are fulfilling their purpose to make us look more like Jesus. Romans 8:29, just real quick, I'll read it. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, look at this next line, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Very clearly, Paul says, we are called to look like Jesus. We were predestined, in fact, to look like Jesus. Not whether we're in or out of heaven. That's not what that word predestined is implying. That word predestined is implying that we are called from the very beginning as believers, as sons, as adopted sons and daughters of Christ to look like his Son Jesus. That is what growing in the Word helps us do. It helps us understand his character, his behavior, the way he engages with people, how he loves people that are completely different than him. I mean, Jesus was rebuked often because he went to where the religious elites would never go. Jesus would go to the broken, to the lost, to the weary, to the brokenhearted. He had a heart that cared for people genuinely and authentically. And though he was reviled, he did not say anything. Though the religious elites came after him for hanging out with the sinners and the publicans, Jesus set them straight. He spoke truth. We're not afraid of truth by any way, shape, or form. But we see Jesus' heart in the lost, that he's not there to condemn. I think of the woman that came up to him where the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were trying to condemn this woman for living in an adulterous lifestyle. They brought this woman before Jesus, and Jesus, he knew it was a trap. He knew what was happening there. He asks, if you are one who has not sinned, go ahead and be the first to cast the stone, that is to condemn her. And it starts from the elders. They all recognized what Jesus was saying was the truth. And they, one by one, were like, I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to step up. Well, maybe these young whippersnappers will set us straight. I'm way too wise to not get involved in that angle. And here you are at the end of that story. Jesus is with this woman, and he says to her very clearly, he looks at her, he writes something in the sand. We don't know what it is. I wish I knew what it was. Our curiosity wants to know what it was. But the message he says after, in words that are documented, are very powerful. He looks at this woman and he says this, look around. Who is to condemn you? Jesus is technically the right person, the only person that has any right to condemn her. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You see, this is what we're talking about when we talk about what Scripture is laying out for us as believers, that we are to be transformed by his word. I want you to see this in Romans 12. We read Romans 8. Let's jump to Romans 12. Paul says this in verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. First and foremost, one of the things that I see there that's very powerful is this word, living sacrifice. The implication that is there with this word that Paul uses, living sacrifice, is that this is something we have to do daily. In every part of our life. I can't give God just half of my life. I have to give him all of my life. I can't just hold apart, separate from God over here in the corner and say, God, this is my space. You can have the rest, but this is mine. No. It's a daily coming up before the Lord and saying, Lord, I belong to you every part of my life, from my thoughts, the way I think, to the way I talk, to the way I engage, to the way I behave. Even, Lord, even the way I move and roll my eyes, those are yours. I know it's hard. Sometimes our body language, right? Like most of our communication is through body language instead of verbal language. And so sometimes controlling that's really hard. When someone says something, you want to roll your eyes, right? I'm guilty. Maybe some of you have experienced some of my eye rolls. I don't know, right? But that all belongs to God. And when I do that, I need to make sure that what I'm doing is in line with the character and behavior of Jesus, right? And so this is what we see Paul walking us through as he says this. Now look at this in verse 2. In Romans 8, we saw that God, that Paul tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of his son. Look at what he says not to do. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, Paul says. In chapter 8, he says, hey, listen, we're called to be conformed to the image of his son. Here's a warning. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't look like this. That word conformed, it's really a really good picture if you want to, is like a molding press, right? And if you're familiar with how molding presses work, they have a shape that they want to fill, and then they just squish the material into it till it's pressed and formed into that image. That's the picture of what conformed looks like. So Paul is warning, hey, listen, be careful of the pressures of this world forcing you to look like them. Instead, make sure that the pressure, the thing that you're in, is this book, to make sure this is what you are applying to your life to look like the Son of God. He goes on in this next verse, the same verse, verse 2, says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is, in fact, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is good, acceptable, and perfect. If we don't get in the Word of God and know what the Word of God says, we can be tossed like a tumbleweed from here to there to all over the place. We can take the, man, that sounds good. It sounds like something God might say. Never open the book to verify it. This has happened for centuries in the church. People just, and I'm telling you this to not take my word for it. I am a fallible human being. I want you as believers, my call as a pastor is to make sure you are mature believers who can rightly divide the Word of God so that you understand, for God forbid, if I ever go wayward, you can go, hey, Pastor John, the Bible says this. I know you said that, but the Bible says this. How am I missing this? How am I not understanding? Why are you saying something contrary to the Word of God? See, I am held by the same standard. This word is what I am held by. This is the authority that we stand on as believers. Like this matters in our day in and day out walking as believers and Christians. If we don't know what it says, anybody can say, oh yeah, the scripture, God said this, and proclaim whatever they want to proclaim. This is why getting in the Word of God is so very important for us as believers. Paul says that as we are in the Word, as we study it, as we engage with it, it begins to transform us. When I was roughly 21 years old, and the very first time I picked up the Word of God and I began to read it, it immediately started changing me. I was an atheist, hated God, hated everything about God. But I picked up the Word of God and I started reading it. I started in Hebrews chapter 11, which said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And immediately it struck something in my heart where I'm like, wait a minute. Substance evidence that there's God? No, as an atheist, I didn't hold true. That was obviously a clear lie in God's word until I started reading more, until I started examining more of God's word and more of God's, what he says about the way our world is made, what he prophesied about. All these things pointed back to, wow, what is written in this word of God is not written by man. It is something that God has ordained for humanity to know who he is. And as an atheist, as I started opening this word of God and looking at it and examining myself, I recognized real quick, oh man, I need a Savior. I need a Lord. Because the one I'm currently serving is only leading me to death and destruction. And man, to know, listen, as an atheist, I wanted God to be true. Somebody that loves me for where I'm at, is willing to forgive me of all the things that I did wrong towards him and include me into his family to care for me, to give me purpose, to give me a home, if you will. I struggled with the belief, but that belief was shattered when I started opening the Word of God. It started to transform me. And what's really awesome as we examine this, I'm going to read another passage. I'm sorry, I'm just going to skip that one. I was going to read Romans 13. You can write it down and note it. Romans 13, 11 through 14, Paul speaks of this nature of that we cast off the old self. We cast off the works of darkness, and we put on the armor of light. This picture that is laid there in that passage is this, that we are of one side or the other. We are choosing one master or the other, of the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And so today, as we're walking through this aspect of growth communities, what it means, or being in the Word of God, and what it means to grow in the Word of God, we see that God never designed transformation. I want you to hear this. God never designed transformation to be a solo project. Listen to what I'm just saying. God never designed transformation to be a solo project. You see, God gave us the body of Christ, one another, each other, so that we would have a place where we could come together and be encouraged to continue to be in the Word of God. That we could have a place where we engage in conversations of like, hey, listen, I read this certain verse in here and I don't understand it. Those of you who are mature, that have been in the Word a long time, can take the Word of God and say, hey, listen, that's okay, I struggled with that too. When I first came to know the Lord and I didn't understand all the details of what was there. Man, I'm so grateful of men and women that have been faithful to the Word of God who took time to help me understand portions of Scripture that were very, very hard to grasp. You see, if I was left of my own volition, if I was left on my own to figure it all out, I'm pretty sure I'd end up way out in left field. I can make up and create my own ideas of what the Word says. I'm so thankful for wise men in my life who have guided me, who have shaped me, have turned me. Like, hey, listen, don't walk. I understand what that seems to say, but here's the Word of God in this text over here to show you that this is what it's pointing to. We are not meant. To grow in a silo. We are meant to grow communally. Romans 12, we just read it a few minutes ago, tells us to be transformed. But what's amazing is just a few verses after that, Paul reminds us that we are also one body in Christ. In other words, transformation and community, they are inseparable. They go together. We grow by growing together. I want to read this, Romans 15, verse 4. Paul says these words, whatever was written in the former days was written for our instructions. Again, understand what Paul's saying here. He's saying the Word of God, all of it, the Old Testament included, all of it, the stuff that was written in the former days was written for our instruction. Listen, if anybody ever comes and tells you, hey, the Old Testament really doesn't matter anymore, point them to Romans 15. Well, Paul said, the things that were written in former days were written for our instruction. We need to hear what was written in the former days for our instruction. And I want you to see this. I want you to understand why that's so important. Paul says this, that through what was written and what was instructed, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, there it is again, the encouragement of the word of God, we might have hope. Anybody here need some encouragement? Anybody at all? Just me? I know sometimes, man, maybe you had a good week. I'm super glad you had a good week. Some weeks are tough and we need encouragement, right? Anybody need some endurance for their week to come? Like, man, I know I got a tough week ahead of me. I am going to need some endurance to get through this next week. I know we have some college kids there. Maybe you've got exams this week. I don't know. I'm going to need some endurance. I'm going to need some encouragement. Help me get through exam week, whatever it is. Anybody need hope this week? Anybody? We need hope, right? These are all things that Paul helps us understand. Hey, this is what we need. And he points back to the very word of God as the source of that endurance, the source of that encouragement, the source of that hope, which is all pointing us back to, I want you to see this, verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. See, the word of God points us back to who God is, which points us back to his character and his behavior, that he is a God of endurance, that he is a God of encouragement. He is a God of hope. If we're not in here using the word of God in our day-to-day and we're just carrying it from here to there, it's no different than a gym membership that we've stuck in the back of our pocket. We can say, hey, I want the word of God to transform my life, but I'm never going to open it. Then we're just as silly as someone carrying a gym membership saying, hey, I'm going to lose 30 pounds because I got this card stuck to my back pocket. That card's heavy, but not that heavy. And you can carry an extra big Bible, and that might help you, but it's really, if you don't open it and look into it, it's not going to transform your life. And I want you to see what this is where I'm talking about when we talk about growth as communal. Paul says this in verse 6, that together, it's not a solo mission. It's not just me by myself, I have to figure this all out. No, that together you may with one voice, as we are growing, as we are in his word, as we recognize how valuable this is to our life, that we together may with one voice glorify God the Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, growing in the Word is not just about me, it's about all of us. Because the more we're in the Word, the more we see God's character, the more we see Jesus' character, and the more we live that character out amongst ourselves, with each other, and the world sees us, and they go, wow, there's something different about that group of people. Man, they have a heart of compassion. They care. Not just on the outside, but genuinely they care. Man, they show a love like I have never seen before. How do we do that? We do that by knowing Jesus and by living out what his word and his instructions tells us to do day in and day out, not just as a head knowledge, but as something we practice from the morning when we wake up until the evening when we go to sleep, that we make Christ our priority. I want to share this one passage and I'll be done. Romans 14. Verse 18 says this, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and is approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. You see, when we are in the Word of God, when we are applying His Word of God, not just for head knowledge, but like, Lord, today, how is what I'm going to read be something I need to apply to my life? As I examine these stories that are written both in the Old and the New Testament, and I go, man, Lord, how does that apply to my life? And we start living out those applications that the Lord gives us, and we start walking in it day in and day out. We pursue, we find our pursuit is not chaos. It's not destruction. Our pursuit is peace. Our pursuit, what we pursue, is for the mutual upbuilding of the body of Christ, to encourage, to uplift. When you're going through a hard time, getting in the Word, man, this has happened to me so many times, and I'm sure there's many of Christians here that can attest to this. Man, I was going through something, and I opened the Word of God, and I started reading it. And man, it was as if God was talking right to me in my situation. And as I was reading those texts, it was like God spoke directly to me. And there were words, not of condemnation, though sometimes when I was walking in sin, there were words of condemnation. Like, hey, dude, that's called conviction. That's also from the Lord. Hey, listen, son, you're not acting like my kid. Son, you know better than to act that way. That's not what I would do. There's conviction, but there's also encouragement. Son, I've got you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Right? Romans 8, 35, 38, somewhere in there. I'm not going to quote it because I'm not good, but I know Marshall can quote it because it's his favorite. Neither heaven nor earth, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's what is written in here. Those aren't just fancy words a pastor came up with. Those are the words of God. So today, I want to just encourage you with these simple things. There's a lot of application that we can take from the Word of God, how to apply it to our life. First and foremost, I want to invite you, if you are not a part of a growth community, to get and be a part of a growth community. It is one of the most valuable things in my life. I'm a part of a growth community. I don't lead them all. I love just to go sit with other believers and hear how they examine and share the Word of God in their life. Be a part of a growth community. Bring a Bible, whether it's on your phone. I like the hard copy, but I also use a phone. Bring a Bible to the growth community. Bring questions that you are engaged in encountering. Don't be afraid to step out of this discomfort that we have and share how God is using His Word in your life. That encourages, that builds up the body. See, at the heart of the Great Commission is, in fact, the gospel, the good news that Jesus lived the life we could not. He died a death that we deserved. He rose again so that by faith we might be forgiven. That we would have a path or a new way given to us, be made new in essence, to be reconciled to God. We don't obey to earn that gift. We obey because we've already received it through Jesus. Romans has shown us in many places that the gospel produces this life of obedience. That it produces this life of obedience from the heart. It transforms us into the image of His Son, Jesus. And that growth together as one body, pursuing peace and building one another up, is in fact part of the call of the Great Commission. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ, I want to encourage you to receive Him as your Lord and as your Savior. Whether it's in this room or you're watching online, I want to implore you, to plead with you, to know Jesus and his goodness and his kindness and his love. If you are a believer, I want you to step into the mission of Christ that he has commanded us to live, to obey his word in the daily, ordinary moments, to be transformed, to let the Spirit renew our minds, to be conformed to Christ's image, to grow together and to not walk alone, but invest in the body. Those of you who are mature and have been faithful in the Word of God, invest in the body, building others up in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your Word. Man, it has meant so much to me. Lord, I love spending time with you, hearing your words, your instructions, your commandments, Lord. They are good, as Paul says. They are righteous and they are holy. They are for my benefit, as Hebrews says. Your discipline is for my benefit. Lord, and ultimately, I just plead, Lord, those areas in my life that need to be conformed to you, I would yield and follow you. I ask this in Jesus' holy name.